The boys are back in town. Welcome to the Deadlock Podcast. Sounds like Tony's popping himself open a cold one over there. What flavor you got?
The white one, man.
That's yeah, the white know. Flavor. Oh, hell yeah. See,
Zero
I had to trade
Ultra,
it out.
Brother.
I had to trade it out. I'm drinking sparkling water like a mid-40s
mom. A little bit
mom.
Of the bubbly.
That's basically what it is, yeah. To be honest with you. Welcome to Deadlock episode number 12. Marcus is still not here because he is with the Redskins and they had a game today. I think they played the goddamn Jets. Every time I think of the Jets, all I can think of is Big Daddy. You ever seen that movie?
Yes.
Who are you rooting for?
The goddamn Jets. Yes.
Well, the Jets beat the Redskins, so maybe it's time for Marcus to go into the quarterback position. We'll put him in and see how that plays out with
Where
the Redskins.
Where was the Fiend? Where is the Fiend?
That's why the Redskins aren't winning, because the Fiend's not there.
He's too busy changing the title to Blue.
He's got He's running the whole, what's it called? The digital marketing and the media and the social and stuff and everything. Why don't you just tweet the Fiend? I'm sure he would love to show up. They were on Fox today, weren't they? That's what the game was playing on.
Yeah.
So Marcus, tap into your fiendness. Let it resonate through your body.
It's all because he changed the title to Blue. You know, if it was the Blueskins, he'd be right on there.
But yeah, maybe change the name. But we'll just rebrand the entire Redskins. I don't think we won't lose anything, bro. You know, like, let's just go ahead and go all the way.
That IP's hot. Let's go.
So we had a couple of Apple Podcast reviews that I want to talk about here, especially ones from people with names referring to penises. I want to appreciate it. Just give a big shout out to anyone who did that.
Yes.
We had 114 5-star ratings this week, which is astronomical.
Just
Thank
this
you
week.
Guys. Yeah, just this week. The boys are popping off just this
just
week.
Just this week.
Thank you, guys.
Jeez,
we're
going to
kick it off here with My Schlong, who left us a review. That's his penis. He said, awesome podcast. Always been a fan of Pulse. Fun content creator. Tony and Marcus are great, too. P.S. Play WWE All-Stars. We had one from High Power 14. He said, Deadlock is the best. Yes, it is. Click the subscribe button. Yes. He said, I've been a fan of Pulse and Tony Pizza Guy for about 4 to 5 years, whomst both have put out great content. And to now hear them talk about wrestling for 2 hours? Oh, man, that's awesome. They're energetic and they have wacky personalities. And I wasn't aware of who Marcus was at first, but to learn that he's previously worked on WWE games, I have even more questions now that I know he's a part of building parts of my favorite childhood wrestling games. If I could rate this podcast higher than 5, I totally would, but I'm no Meltzer, and I look forward to listening in every single Sunday. In Pulse's voice, see you!
Nice. That's like the nicest, that's like the most genuine comment. I love it. It makes you feel good deep down inside, you know?
Yeah, because, I mean, he brought out the Brock Lesnar outro, dude. Only real ones know about that.
Only the realists know about the Brock Lesnar outro. It's gonna get good,
man. We popped off on some t-shirts too.
Oh, dude, I feel like we should just quit the podcast and sell shirts from now on.
Yeah, from now on, we're just doing shirts. That's the entirety of Deadlock.
We're gonna be pro wrestling tees now, Deadlock.
Yeah, we're just gonna start all that because I mean, like, these t-shirts have been flying off the damn shelves, right? We got up this morning and we looked at the Shopify, which is what we run
together,
the t-shirt stuff on.
We got up together,
same bed actually. And we got up and we looked at it and he texted me and I was like, dude, I know, I'm looking at it right now. So we ended up putting up a t-shirt for pre-order this weekend. It's a Jungle Kiona t-shirt, who is a Joshi Puro superstar, for people who don't know who she is. We put up a shirt for her because I was going to give her a gift when I went to Japan, because that's like, it's just something you can do with wrestlers, more so Joshi Puro wrestlers. It's stuff you do. But I just, you know, right. She's my favorite wrestler. I just thought, you know, I would do that. And I was like, oh, I know a couple of people in the Discord wanted it. So I thought, you know what? Let's just put it up for a short weekend sale. You know, if somebody wants it, they want it. And man, it blew everything away. I mean, we broke the 24-hour sale record on the shop right away. I mean, right away, which is astronomical. It's still up right now. And I think since we're recording this podcast a little late, I think what we're going to do is I'm going to let this go just a little bit longer. So maybe midday Monday is when I'll stop all the pre-sales and everything, will take it down and then it's done. And then I'll start production on everything. So if you want to get the t-shirt, grab it while you still can. Cause we're going to take it down here probably within the next 12 or 24 hours. So make sure to check that out if you want to pick that up.
Yeah, this is something different we are trying. Usually what we do is we'll have Well, the first run we did, we actually had all the shirts and then we put them for sale. But then we tried the pre-order thing where we're like, hey, here's a design. We're going to get a bunch printed and then you can buy them afterwards. And then this one was kind of like, we're only running this for the weekend. However many people buy, that's how many we're going to get printed. Then after that, it's gone. So if you like the different types of way we're selling the merchandise, maybe it's something we could do in the future, but it's just something we, you know, it's
I mean,
a cool
personally,
little thing.
Personally, I like the pre-order, but I also like having the shirts and like being able to send them out, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like right away. Like that's like, especially since we revamped all the shipping stuff and like I can get stuff out pretty quick. I got a thermal printer now, boys. So we're printing out labels left and right. We're getting stuff out within 24 hours. Like orders are really just like, we've really kind of like taken it to the next level.
It's cool to have the limited time design though. That it's like, hey, like we wouldn't do it all the time, but I think like just maybe every once in a while I'll be like, oh yeah, we got this sweet design. This is only going to be for this. How many?
Oh, like a 3-day gimmick. Yeah. Yeah. Like we do.
Yeah. That's kind of cool. Like it's a whatever, I don't know, holiday thing or whatever, you know, something cool.
Yeah. I mean, I like that we did the cactus shirt for Halloween. I think that was really cool. But that wasn't like a special 3-day thing or anything. Like this is our very first, like super limited, like 3-day, like we're not reprinting the shirts, but like, you know, limited in a way, like it's a 3-day thing. And I thought it went well. I mean, I can't complain. We broke the damn record for sales. I can't complain about how it went, you know.
It's nice. So we
also found new people to print the shirts, and the shirts came out fantastic, like truly great. If you ordered a cactus shirt, literally all the orders went out Friday. You should have got an email about it, and you should get it soon. So
I think there was one more that just came in prior to recording this podcast, so I think that'll go
I packed that up though, so that should be out tomorrow. You should have it in a day or two, so everybody should have it next week. And we still have we actually looked at before we went, we have very limited sizes left on the cactus and Vader shirt, so if you see your size and you want to pick that up, I'd do it before they sell out, because it definitely looks like they are going to.
I would say not 100% sure what we're doing, but Black Friday and Cyber Monday are coming up, so you might want to check our social feed for that.
Yeah, keep that in mind too.
I don't know. Well,
something I wanted to discuss with you. I wanted to make this a shoot too, because I hadn't even talked to you about it before.
Oh, we're shooting, bro.
Yeah, I didn't talk to you
CM
about
Punk,
this
I'm ready to talk about CM Punk.
No, not yet. Right. We'll talk about CM Punk in a minute. Of course, we'll talk.
We gotta
about CM
get
Punk.
That audience retention, right? Yeah.
So, I was thinking about this as I was talking today on Discord.
Okay.
So we actually have a good amount of patrons so far. Mm-hmm. What do you think about making a Discord that's for like patrons?
I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah. So like
as long as you're like in wrestling. The $1 tier, you get in or something.
Yeah. So like any patron like that, period, can get in is basically the idea. And then we can do like wrestling talk and stuff in there, you know, and I think that'd be a good place to take questions and stuff for like, I'm pretty sure the $5 tier is like submit questions, so we can make like a Discord room for submitting questions and stuff every week.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be awesome. Get that community aspect, because I feel like we have a pretty loyal community, just knowing off the like the Apple reviews and stuff, like people want to chat with us. And I saw that there was some people on Patreon who were chatting a little bit. But I think having a Discord would get that like community together.
Right.
Which would be cool to put like some of those names to like talk with them and just chit chat and have a good time.
I use Discord all the time.
Yeah, me too. That's literally what we're doing right now. We're on Discord right now.
Literally every day.
I love Discord. So I think we should get a full on one going.
Yeah, me too. Sure. All right. So we'll work on that. We'll get that. And I don't know when we're going to launch it, but we'll put that in the works too. We have like a queue of things that we need to do. So we'll go down that list.
It'll be by end of year, right? That'll be one of our end of year goals.
We'll put that as a end of year 2019 thing then.
There you go.
Speaking of Patreon, we had a couple of people that became a Patreon at patreon.com/deadlockpw. In the $1 tier, we had, all right, you want to try to say his name or you want me to try to say it?
I'll go and then you go.
Okay. Adam Adrian Sins.
That's close enough. We'll go with that.
No, I want you to try now.
I don't have the.
Pull it up then. I'll sit here and wait. I'm going to say it. I'll sit here all day.
Go to the other ones while we're at it, while I'm pulling it up.
Okay, all right. So we had Adam, Christopher R., Jordy Beckford, and then in the $5 tier, we had Skiz, who actually most of these people, I've seen their names before, so appreciate it, guys. And of course, we also have three Patreon gimmicks that we have to get through this week. We have one for Nicholas Dorito, we have one for Nikolai Nielsen, and we have one for Brooks Nose that I wrote out. So, Tony, you can give me gimmicks on that. But before we do that, I want to hear you say my man Adam's name. So go to town.
Adam Adrian Essens. That's how
Adrian Essens.
I'm going to go with that.
So, you know what, man? You got a hell of a last name, brother. You'd make it
Adam
the biz.
A, okay? That's the greatest name of all time.
It's like when they changed Donovan Dijak's name. Donovan Dijakovic Dimidog.
Yeah, just making it more hard.
Yeah. So, let's go through these Patreon gimmicks here. Tony, like, you know, as we usually do, I'm going to say them and then you tell me what you think. These are pretty good. I like these. All right, so Nicholas Dorito, his gimmick is Diamond Nick Alvarez. His finisher is the Diamond Driver, and it's a backdrop driver. Ooh. And his backstory, cut from stone, abs from God. Nick Alvarez got the nickname Diamond from his incredible physique. It's only a matter of time till WWE picks him up once Vince McMahon sees his oiled up body. It's a wrap. Taking inspiration from wrestlers of the past, Nick Alvarez's backdrop driver that he named the Diamond Driver is one for the history books.
I love it. Vince McMahon, that gif of Vince and the bodybuilders.
That's exactly, by the way, that's where I came up with the gimmick is I resaw the gif of him losing his mind. And I was like, yep, that'll do. That'll be one of them. You can actually usually tell exactly where I get most of these gimmicks from if you just think about it for a second. Because they all come from things I see.
I thought you were going to give him the diamond cutter, but we'll go with
No. I didn't want to. That's too on the nose. Like,
so you could probably just use that as like a regular move, you know? Like,
yeah, I mean, why not? We're doing Canadian Destroyers. Like, it ain't nothing. So, like, why not?
that's setting up for your finish.
Yeah, obviously.
Diamond cutter.
We had one for Nikolai Nielsen. The gimmick I gave him was Dark Donnie Nielsen. His finisher is Driven to Madness, and it's a crossface. So, backstory. This one's actually very intricate. So, backstory. One night as Donnie was sleeping, he was awoken by a weird presence. He can't and could not explain it. Hell, he can barely remember it. All he can remember is waking up, and on his television, he saw professional wrestling. He had no TV service, no antenna, a VCR, and no wrestling tapes, but pro wrestling was on his TV in his room. A TV that had never seen pro wrestling. How does that happen? Nobody knows. Donnie felt inclined to explore this further, enrolling in a pro wrestling school as he chases down the meaning to this night in his life. Every victory drives him closer to the answer, and his Driven to Madness crossface submission helps him get there.
Ooh, I love it. I love it, dude.
Yeah, that's pretty intricate. You know where I got that one from?
I don't know. Where'd you get it from?
Donnie Darko.
Oh, makes sense.
I don't know if you ever seen that movie, but that's a good movie. Yeah, it's good. It's an old one, but it's a good one.
It's a good one. Yeah. I was going to say, is he like the son of the Nielsen TV rating guy as well?
Oh, my God. No, I didn't even think about that, but that's like 6,000 IQ.
There you go.
That's incredible.
Throw that down there.
All right, so I have one for Brooks Nose. His gimmick, Sadistic Scott Thomas. His finisher is called Second to None, and it's an air raid crash, which, by the way, is one of my favorite moves ever. I love a good air raid crash, especially when it's a big man. So Sadistic Scott Thomas's backstory, brutal, barbaric, cold-blooded. Just a few words to describe Scott Thomas' in-ring demeanor. People that step in the ring with Scott do not come out the same man. Unrelenting on his offense, he barely has to focus on defense. Sadistic Scott Thomas goes at you and does not stop until the job is well and done, and then he doesn't stop then. His second to none finish, the air raid crash, leaves bodies mangled in the square circle.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's just vicious, bro. I was just thinking like a bear attack or something. I'm like, hell yeah.
Ooh, geez.
That's what I thought when I was seeing that guy. I was like, oh, man, a bear. I like that.
Just a big hoss going at it, you know?
Yeah, if you guys want Patreon gimmicks, man, it's in the $10 tier. If you become a $10 patron, I appreciate everybody that goes that length and goes to help us out, man. You guys are the best. Appreciate y'all, man.
I love it.
Now, we got a couple of things to talk about this week. Specifically, I guess we'll go ahead and, you know, we got to go ahead and talk about it because everybody's been asking me about it. I don't know about you. I'm sure fucking same thing, 100,000 people. So CM Punk is in Fox.
CM Punk.
Of course, I was John asked about this 100 times, man.
The entire
time. Oh my God. No, don't talk about him. I actually, like, I saw someone say something. That dude had been talking about CM Punk for 300 years, and then he finally comes back and he doesn't talk about it. I'm sure eventually he did, but I'm surprised he didn't go right away.
I'm checking his thing.
Yeah, he had to. He's got to be like 40 videos up there, dude. There's no way. But yeah, I mean, like, of course, 100 people asked me because my name on YouTube, CM Pulse. So like, people were like, "Hey, CM Punk's back. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think?" And so let me set the stage for this first. So CM Punk returned to WWE in a sense. I guess he's signed to Fox, not WWE. Just let me say, let me go with the story.
Let me go to the story. SpongeBob
I have to say he returns to WWE because that's what people click on, Tony. So I have to set the stage correctly here. If we want people to click on the video,
let me just tell you, okay,
he returned to WWE / Backstage. It's a TV show that they do. Okay.
It's a TV show. Backstage
to WWE. Yes.
On Fox.
I'm glad you understand. So CM Punk returns. He's back and he's talking about furries and Baron Corbin now on some Fox show. So that's going to be his gimmick in the upcoming week. He's not wrestling. He's not even signed to WWE. He's signed to Fox.
Don't even get me started. Do we need to discuss this?
He's not. He's signed to Fox.
But Tony,
that means there could be a bridge eventually.
Shut up.
To the WWE.
I hate the way you're talking because I can just see the smile on your face right now.
I'm not smiling. I am literally so stone-faced. It's incredible.
People are so stupid. He signed with Fox. He could go to AEW.
Tony, technically he could.
Shut up.
Technically, Tony, he could. He signed to Fox, Tony. He could show up in Jacksonville.
Yeah, okay.
Tony, hear me out.
You're right.
Hear me out. Exactly. Yes. Thank you. I'm glad that you agree.
You're 100% correct.
So
it'll be a New Japan, Ring of Honor.
See you, punk. See you, punk. Tony, hear me out.
He's going to be. Yeah, go.
Okay. Hear me out, Tony. CM Punk returns to WWE. All right. He's back. That means next week on Raw, he's showing up. That means that WrestleMania is Punk's main event. It's the payoff, Tony. See, you had to think about it like that, huh? He's going to come back and face Triple H because that's the only person he can face. See, you got to think of
it. Kevin Nash. He never had the match with Kevin Nash.
Oh, that's there's so many strings to follow.
Iconic, you know.
Truly an enigma.
Yeah, if you're going to pay it off, you know, you got to go through the whole thing like Tubby Emu would. You know, you got to start at like Kane or something.
Yeah. Who at Ryback's got to come back? There's a whole bunch of strings. There's a whole bunch of strings here. Colt Cabana's going to have a match. There's a lot of strings here, dude.
Didn't he like something?
Chris Amon versus CM Punk, the doctor.
Didn't Punk get mad at Colt Cabana for talking to WWE or something?
Here's the kicker. Yeah. Here's the kicker with this. So Punk, who finished a lawsuit with a WWE doctor, and his best friend, and a man that got served his firing on his honeymoon or his wedding night, and he said that he hated it, he came back because of the money. Can we talk about that really quick? And I think it's because CM Punk always came across as the dude that was, you know, even when he was out of wrestling, the way he talked was like always about changing the business and like things need to be this, things need to be that. Can we talk about how Cody Rhodes was more of a voice of the voiceless than CM Punk, and how Cody fucking Rhodes Stardust changed the wrestling business more than CM Punk? Can we talk about that really quick?
That's true, man. I remember seeing a lot of tweets going towards Punk as well, like, oh, why didn't you just do what if you would have done what Cody did, you could have actually changed the business.
There's some timeline out there where he showed up on AEW and just broke the fucking wrestling world.
Bro, that was like, put on my fantasy hat for a minute, and I said, All Out, he debuts, freaking roof is blown off. Then TNT, just, he talks on the first episode of TNT, bro. Like,
dude, I'll be honest with you.
That would have been like the ultimate, like, I don't know what went on with AEW and how the, like, maybe Punk wants to never wrestle ever again. I don't know what's going on in his mind, but I'm only assuming that he doesn't want to ever wrestle ever again. I don't know. He'll
and that's why again, he took but, it. That's why he took the Fox thing, because he doesn't want to wrestle. He just wants to get paid and he wants to talk. Like, that's it, right? Is that what you're thinking?
I don't understand why Tony Khan, Cody Rhodes.
Apparently, they pitched him a ton of money. Apparently, they did pitch him a ton of money from what I saw. So, like, it was obviously the offer was there.
Yeah, but via text message or something, apparently.
Well, what? Like, remember when we went to the StarCast thing? And Punk was like, well, I wish someone would have just texted me or talked to me or whatever. Well, Tony Khan tried to, brother. He tried to hand you a ton of money. I'm just saying that going to AEW would have fit Punk more. But it's obvious, that's what I'm saying too, is like, it's obvious this dude is not the same dude that he was. Like, right? I mean, obviously this dude is a different, at this point in his life is not the CM Punk that left the WWE.
Yeah, in the Chicago StarCast, he even felt like, hey, I was kind of out of line when I was talking about some of the stuff. I kind of just I was angry at the time, so I kind of just took it out, said whatever I felt at the time, and looking back, I probably, said some things that I didn't mean, so... I mean,
I'm
a totally
not excited for him being in the WWE, man. I'm not. I'll be honest. I was disappointed when I got all that news and people were asking me. I just didn't want to post on Twitter like, "fuck," because like I didn't want that to happen. I was like, "oh man," now people are like, "what match would you like to see?" I don't know, Daniel Bryan, I guess, again. I don't know. Like, I don't really want to see any matches in the WWE. There's nothing. Yeah. Like, if he wrestles at WrestleMania, like, I don't care. Like, I have so many AEW things I would have liked him to do, or anything else in the world other than just go on a talk show. And I know that sounds super jaded or whatever. I don't give a shit, man. It's the truth. Like, I just don't. I was kind of disappointed about
the
whole thing.
You see, I see it as like, who was it? Was it Warrior or Goldberg who had kind of like the same kind of thing where they were like, F this company, fuck this place sucks. And then they come back because they talk with Vince and then Vince gets to know them and then they understand their family and the relationship and they become good buddies and then they get one last run and then they go in the Hall of Fame. That's what's going to happen with Punk. He's going to do the Fox thing.
Do you think he does a Saudi pay-per-view?
Dude, probably. I guarantee it.
I was thinking about that.
It's going to be... Here's what it's going to be. When's the next Saudi one? I don't know. Anyway, I'm thinking if he does do, he's going to do, why not Rumble? Rumble, he can come in for like a minute, right? It doesn't even matter. Do something at Mania, get a big payday, right? And then do a Saudi deal, go to Hall of Fame, you're good to go.
I think that's why I'm not excited for it, because I can feel how corporate this is. Yeah, Punk will come in and he'll do his Rumble spot and he'll have his Mania and then he'll get paid a bunch of money. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. The shareholders will go crazy for that one.
It's like the Goldberg thing. It's exactly like Goldberg. I feel like it's going to be just like Goldberg, like minus his son taking his shirt off in the middle of the ring.
And the Saudi thing feels like such like a non CM Punk thing to do. But like,
at this point,
what would it take? What would it take to get CM Punk to wrestle? And I think $15 million would probably do it. Isn't that what they gave Tyson Fury? Like I think $15 million would probably get Punk to wrestle.
They got
Shawn
Michaels to come back, and Michaels was just like, "Yeah, that didn't actually count. That wasn't a WWE show. That was
actually that's nuts to think about too. That Michaels, I almost forgot because I didn't even see that. I didn't even see the match where he came back. I forgot that it happened.
Punched in the face, or I don't know. He got really.
Oh man, like Punk and Saudi. Oh my god.
That is the most anti-Punk.
That's what I'm saying, but like, it almost feels like he doesn't like. That's all. That's gone. That I don't even know what character he does when he comes. You can't do the voice of the voiceless when he comes back. Who is he?
He's Randy Orton.
Like yeah, but like that's his whole character. The whole reason people like were attached to him was because of that character. And
it's
like
he
comes
like
back.
Seth Rollins, where Seth Rollins was like, "Burn it down. This place sucks." And
you remember
Batista
came back and they booed him. Is that
Batista's last? Batista's final thing where he's like, "You all suck. What happened to this damn business?"
Well, he came in and then, Daniel Bryan, we're talking about the WrestleMania 30. So like came in and like Daniel Bryan was hot and then he got booed because, they were like, "No, we want Daniel Bryan." Is there a chance CM Punk would get booed if he wasn't if his character was just, you know, hey guys, I'm glad to be back. I'm gonna do this. I don't know. It's such a weird scenario to think about because he's not the same person anymore. It's just like not the same thing. Like if he went to AEW, he could have ran with that still. Like if he went to AEW, he could still run with the voice of the voiceless.
For sure.
But he just took those two fights, Fox deal, dude. Which is
those fights that he did, those MMA fights, they knocked something silly out of him.
Like the Fox thing was like so like that's Punk before he left WWE would not have taken a Fox deal. It's just like I said, things are just different. You know, I always love CM Punk because he was like a big person for me when I first got back into wrestling and you know, and he's still a, you know, a human being at the same time. It's just,
no, he wrestles for us.
It's just, I was a little let down with how everything went down.
It's the least exciting way that he could come back to the WWE.
Yeah, you're right. I think that's the best way to put it is like out of any scenario ever of Punk making his big triumphant return, being signed to Fox and then coming to, if he does a Saudi thing, dude, I'll be
coming into Fox and then saying I changed the culture or something.
Yeah, you
whatever.
Can't say that shit anymore. Cause like, oh man, just thinking about that makes me get goosebumps. Like, oh my God, could you imagine? Oh my God. Oh man, that would be very, very rough. There's a lot to break down with the CM Punk thing. It's still a lot to take in. I still haven't I guess this upcoming week will be his first backstage week, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to, I'll just, hopefully someone on the timeline, I'm not watching it, but someone on the timeline can post about it or something.
Someone on the timeline will tell you.
Yeah, someone on the timeline will keep me up to date on what's going on.
This just feels like another script, like it's promo school is what it's called or something. So it almost reminds, it's like trademark, CM Punk trademark, registered copyright. Yeah. CM Punk's pipe bomb segment of the week promo. Like, I literally see it going down as he's just going to talk a bunch of crap about people's promos or something. And then one time someone's going to get mad and then that will lead to a match. And then that's how it's going to be. Like, there's no intrigue with it, I don't think. Like, I don't know.
Realistically, the first time he shows up on a TV show will be a very big deal, realistically. Yeah. But I think that there's diminishing returns past that, especially since he's not the same guy he was. He definitely isn't the same in-ring guy that he was. And, you know, and that really comes down to Punk hating wrestling for a long time post-WWE. Like he didn't keep up with it. He didn't want to talk about it. He didn't want to think about it. Like, when he first left, he was downright ignorant about it. And, like, I don't know. If there was anyone that could take him to a match, though, it's Daniel. That's why I said Daniel Bryan, because if there's anyone that could take him to a match, it's Daniel Bryan.
But that's our fantasy Daniel Bryan retirement tour, where like he gets out of WWE.
God, I want Daniel Bryan to go to Gato Move, Tony. Why didn't CM Punk go to Gato Move?
Could you imagine, man?
They could have paid him in like a T-shirt or something.
I wish that Punk didn't just like completely shut off from wrestling. Because I remember at the Chicago thing, people were like, "Yeah, who are your favorite wrestlers these days?" And he's like, "I don't." I have no idea who anybody is.
Who did he say? Yeah, he said, I don't know who anybody is, but he's like, Daniel Bryan.
I think he said something like Adam Cole maybe or something.
Yeah, he might have said something like that. It was some like obviously like a cop-out answer, you know what I mean? Like just, I think he said, Will Ospreay or something. He's like, I saw a GIF of Will Ospreay.
Yeah, he did say that. I saw a GIF of Will Ospreay. He's doing some cool stuff. Maybe him.
Yeah, I guess so. That's a weird thing to answer with, but okay, sure.
It's what, man, could you imagine if he would have been like, WWE did me wrong. Now I'm gonna stick it to them and like,
God, dude, the AEW thing was like, I'm still like, man, that would be crazy. That would have been nuts.
But he doesn't want to wrestle, and you know,
that's fine. Like I said,
he's gonna get an Undertaker schedule if he does wrestle, or like,
if he doesn't ever wrestle again, like it doesn't hurt my feelings at all. I actually think him being near the wrestling business without wrestling makes it worse. I understand that he needs to make money and like this, you know, whatever. If he doesn't wrestle ever again, it doesn't hurt my feelings. I wish if he did wrestle that he would have put his foot down and made a huge statement in AEW. Like, that's what I feel like would have been like, If you really wanted to, like, he talked the talk, but he didn't walk the walk at the end of the day. Does that make sense? Like, he didn't follow.
He was like,
through.
I am the voice of the voiceless.
And yeah, and like, no, it's a gimmick, not. And it's kayfabe, and like, cool. But like, Punk, it obviously followed ideals that Punk like actually believed in real life. Like, that was very much based off of Punk's real life ideology on a lot of things. I mean, he's always been like, you know, growing up, and like, he's always been that kind of guy. And just like coming in and taking the Fox deal. You know, you ever seen that Family Guy episode where Lois takes the Fox job, and like, Brian's like, don't, that fucking heartless ass, like, Fox News is garbage. Like, they're like, Fox News is garbage. And like, Family Guy's on Fox, by the way. And they're, like, Fox News, that's garbage. And it's like, we're not garbage. And the first job that they end up giving her is like, go find out if Michael Moore's gay with Rush Limbaugh. It's just like, okay. So yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, that is like totally the opposite of me being excited for any for Punk. I'm excited that he's gonna make a ton of money, but like, I don't know.
I guess the way to look at it is, they brought up in the Chicago thing where we were at the panel or whatever, how like, he wanted all this stuff to change in the wrestling business, like some vacations and a bunch of other stuff like that. And some of that stuff has actually changed since he left.
Which, what I, if guess the vacation kind of, thing it, was the reason that he came back? Because remember at the panel thing, he said, yeah, vacation. What if that was, the underlying thing that he said, you know what? That don't sound too bad.
There has been a lot of changes though. Like, they would never let him wrestle with like his injuries now, I don't think.
You know, well, WWE kayfabed a broken nose on Mia Yim the other week, and then she showed up on TV, so.
True. So, yeah, I mean, I guess some of his stuff did change, so he was kind of a voice for the voiceless, but now he's just kind of like, it's the least exciting way for him to come back. Not that I understand why he did it. It's just, I want to see him in that ring again. I want to see him wrestle, and I want
to
see him.
That's the best. That's the best way to say it, man, is like, it is the least exciting way for him to do anything.
I mean, I don't really want to, I don't care about his hot takes on how Baron Corbin sucks at talking or something. You know what? Like, I don't
care about anyone in that is under a WWE paycheck. I don't give a fuck what they have to say about WWE. Like, who does? Like, obviously, like, it's, they're doing all this stuff right now, right? Where it's just like, oh, we have to shoot podcasts and shoot shows and shoot. And like, all the, everyone that's on the shows and on the podcast is in WWE. Who cares? Like, are you kidding me? It's just a bunch of toting the line garbage. It's like, man, what a waste of fucking time. Like, people are,
and
like,
then they get edgy,
Corey Graves
get
said,
edgy.
Yeah, Corey Graves said he didn't like the Bobby Lashley storyline. Well, nobody else does either. So I was just like, like, are you, what is this?
Get edgy and like mention the Young Bucks once, and everyone's like, oh, did you see what they said on the WWE podcast?
Yeah,
like,
they know what they're doing, man. They know what they're doing. And like, they hit that market hard, man. They do.
Yeah,
they do. Cause there's a ton of people that just literally live and die on that dirt sheet. Like, there's just so many that just eat that for lunch, honestly. And
it's a weird time for, it's a strange time in WWE.
Wrestling
lanes.
Is always fucking weird, man. There's never not a suit. Like, I swear to God, like, every 6 months I'm like, oh, here we go again. Oh shit, here we go.
I need to go listen to the Punk podcast again, because I remember just so much coming up in that podcast where he was like, this company sucks.
Yeah,
they wanted me to die.
He's like, from the ground
up. Wrestle.
Yeah,
dude. Z-packed me to death. Like,
dude,
oh,
that's crazy.
God.
The Z-pack stuff. Like, yeah, like, oh my
and
God.
Now he's back.
He's like, yeah, I guess I'll come back. Yeah, I did some indie
horror. He was like,
I'll,
I was puking
back.
Blood and almost died. And now he's back in that place.
And like, AEW offered him a ton of money. And he's like,
if some company I worked for almost let me die, I probably would never go back.
Yeah.
No matter how much money they offer me. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I mean, time heals all wounds, as they say, but man, he almost died.
Man, it must have. Oh, man. Time better heal some big ass wounds, some gashes.
Money. Money heals all wounds, I guess, right?
Tis just a flesh wound. Oh,
they're
man.
They're going to pay you $1 million to talk on Fox? I don't know. I'd probably do it. Sure, let's go.
Yeah. I mean, things change when you're 40 something. You know what I mean? True. Like, like you get into the later parts in your life and things change. I mean, it's true. It's just,
and it's probably like he was like, 40 yet, I'm going to do this MMA thing. And then that didn't work out. And then he's like, well, I'm doing this some of this comic stuff. And I don't know if that really worked out. He did some movie stuff. I don't know what that really, if that's still a thing he's doing. But then it was like, I guess I got to go back.
I didn't mind his Drax comic writing. A lot of people didn't like it. but I didn't think it was bad. I thought he would do okay in it. I got the first like 3 or 4 issues. It wasn't bad.
So he tried to do a bunch of other things, and I don't know if any of it really panned out. So it's kind of weird, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's okay. It's okay to be in wrestling. Like, once you get past that, like, it's okay. Like, a lot of people find that weird, like, when they're in wrestling, if they're not a wrestler and they're just, like, on the... I mean, I've even, like... I'm not in the business whatsoever, but like even there's some days where I'm like, I'm talking about fucking wrestling. You know what I mean? Like everyone has those days. It's just how long can you keep that up is the thing with CM Punk, because they almost killed him and he said, I'll take the money. I'll take the
money.
That's crazy, man. I guess we can cover some more of the WWE stuff. The Fiend was on SmackDown. Should have been at the Jets game with the Redskins, but he was on. Yeah, man, could have helped the Redskins out a little bit. But he was at the I believe it was SmackDown, because the Fiend is the Universal Champion after beating Seth Rollins at what pay per view did he beat him at? Survivor Series?
No, it was Survivor Series. Hasn't even happened.
WWE, if you would like to hire me, WWE, if you would like to hire me for your backstage show.
The Saudi show. That, okay. Come on, dude. All right.
That's why I didn't remember, because I didn't watch it. Okay, so
Survivor's here. Yeah, it happened. Yeah, he's from the future.
Well, the Fiend is he breaks time space, you know, this is how it works. He's an interesting character.
You're ridiculous. So anyway, the
Fiend.
On.
Okay, so the Fiend at
you can tell CM
Saudi
loves
pay-per-view ends up turning. So he takes the Universal Championship and he goes, boo, boo, kazoo. And he turns it blue. So now the Universal Championship is no longer red. It is blue. WWE was, I think they were, from what it seemed like in my Discord, they teased that they were going to change the titles up. They were going to change because the Fiend's on SmackDown. He got drafted to the blue brand. Now he has to fight for brand supremacy at the pay-per-view.
Survivor Series, that's coming up.
Yeah.
The one that you thought already happened.
Brand supremacy is coming out for the Fiend, and he's going to empty the tank for SmackDown. The Fiend is going to empty the tank for SmackDown.
By the way, you forgot to mention, he said like Alakazam, Alakazoo, your parents lied to you, and then
that's what I said.
Blew.
He said boo boo kazoo, blue.
He said your parents lied to you.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the same
he
thing.
Said, Alakazam,
Alakazoo,
your parents lied
blue.
To you. The championship is blue.
Well, anyways, he turned the championship blue now because there's nothing that gets the Fiend harder than representing his brand. I cannot believe
he could have gone with any, like he could have gone with any wicked title design. Like,
I cannot believe my eyes, Tony.
There's that Bray Wyatt one that brown strap that you've seen going around, that image of the Bray Wyatt.
Yeah,
one.
I have seen that.
So they could have gone any which way with it. Like, could you imagine if you would have like smashed it like the hardcore title or something? I would have been lit.
Nothing gets the Fiend harder than a rep in the company he works for, baby. Hey, nothing gets his dick harder.
He needs a Team WWE shirt. Team
than SmackDown
shirt.
Live, dude. I said, what the? Are you kidding me? The Fiend turned it blue. He's really about to empty the tank for Fox. That's crazy, dude. Oh my God. Like you said, they could have done anything in the world. They could have gotten creative. They could have turned it to a fucking head lantern championship.
Like,
they could have.
Like
they could have.
He
should have
literally changed it. He should have changed it like every week. Like 1 week, it should have been like the old Winged Eagle, and then he could change it like back to the WWWF.
Why did they? You know? Did the Fiend explain why he turned it blue, or did he just say "Baba Kazoo, motherfucker"?
That's all you need to know. Alakazoo,
well, like,
grandson.
Yeah. What in the world does he care? What does he care if the championship is red or blue? Why did he not turn it into the head? Did you ever see the old Progress Championship where it was just a big ass staff? Where it was just a staff. They could have done that.
He should have melted it down and put it around his neck, like a necklace.
Yeah, made it like a chain or something. Made it like a glove or it. Dude, what? Blue? What is he gonna do with this?
Dude, he should have Thanos'd it and made it like the Infinity Stones and stuff. Oh my gosh!
But he turned it blue instead. No Infinity Gauntlet. No staff. No head lantern.
Turned it blue.
He said, I am the tank for this company. What the hell?
I'm gassed.
Between this and a damn dog, what is this? You know, Fox.
SmackDown had, SmackDown has literally become garbage. Since
you know Fox that the fucking Fox executives are like, what the fuck is going on? Vince is like, well, this is good shit. And this dude watched the Mortal Kombat. He watched the Mortal Kombat tournaments and said, oh, there's Sonic Fox kid. He's dressing up like a dog. The kids like the dog. So he said, I'll make the dog.
The damn dog,
the Fiend with the blue championship. The Fiend is a company man. That's crazy.
The Fiend is a company man now.
Astronomical, man. I could not believe what I saw. The championship. Now, don't get me wrong. The championship does not look bad as a blue championship.
It's fine. It's a fine design.
But that's not the principle. The Fiend turned it blue.
He could have done anything.
Blue dabba dee dabba da. Like, what is this?
I'm the Fiend dabba dee. I turned the championship blue.
What's he going to do with this? What was he going to do with it in the first place? What was the reasoning for him? Like, are you kidding me? Oh my God, the fucking
this
blue
company's
title.
Not red. This brand isn't red. We need it blue.
He said, I'm not repping no red bullshit. We tear it down on Friday nights. The Fiend is Seth Rollins, man. I'm telling you, this is crazy.
Not even to mention the garbage with like two champions on SmackDown for a minute with Brock, and then they're just like, yeah, I quit SmackDown.
I'm out of here. See ya. I'm leaving you with this guy. He's like, well, now that Brock's gone, we can do shit like turn the championship blue. What in the
hell? You could have got creative. You could have brought back the spin. Look, imagine if they would have brought back the spinner John Cena title for a day or something. Like, I would have popped for that stuff. And the Fiend spins it for a second. Like, come on. Like,
The Fiend turns it into like a, like the Danhausen thing where like it's, you know, the, I don't remember the name of what it's called, but it's the black and white where it spins and it like hypnosis on people and stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. It's like, That'd be
like,
pretty dope.
Who is that? Ophidian? Was that the guy?
Yeah. Where he would hypnotize people. Yeah.
Yeah, he could hypnotize people with the title and then just like finish them off with the mandible claw. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, just make something really stupid. But like instead you just turn it blue because the Fiend's a company man. The Fiend totes the line. He's a shareholder. The Fiend has shares. He's got mortgages. He's got stocks.
He's going to empty the tank, man.
The Fiend pays taxes, Tony. Holy shit.
He's got his own IRS guy.
What is this?
The Fiend shows up to one of those tax places. He's standing in line waiting to get his taxes done.
Hell yeah, he has
at
to.
At Walmart, he's in the line.
He's all a right, company man. Taxes done. Oh my God. I was like, this is fantastic stuff here, man. You really knocked it out of the park here. Here's the blue championship and the big dog. Oh man.
Like I get that they... it was probably like Fox or WWE. I don't know who decided to make the blue championship. That was like
the
ultimate end game. Well,
the Fiend. That was a shoot. He said, "I'm repping this damn company like it ain't nothing you ever seen."
That was real magic. That was a shoot.
Dude's crazy, man. That's wild.
Oh my God. I'm just saying. They could have like eventually, like whenever the Fiend loses it, then they could have changed it to blue. But they could have done so much more creative stuff.
Speaking of good decisions, Oney Lorcan asked for his release from WWE, which adds to the never-ending list of people asking for their WWE release. What could the reasoning behind this be?
He asked for his release and now Luke Harper has 7 more months on his contract.
Please leave Luke alone.
He's never gonna get out of the company.
Oh dude, what do you think is the reasoning for all these people asking? I could not imagine.
Changed his Twitter handle too. He's just like, yep,
did he change
Biff
it
again.
Is it Star Destroyer still, or what did he change it to?
Yeah, he just changed the name to say Biff on it.
Oh, go perfect. What do you think? Okay, so Sin Cara asked for his release. Oney Lorcan asked for his release. Mike Bennett asked for his release.
Jordan Miles
fucking just quit. So what do you think?
A huge rant on
Twitter. What do you think the reasoning behind everyone wanting to quit this company? Do you think it's because the Fiend turned the championship blue? Do you think it's the dog on Fox? You think it's the big dog?
I'm waiting for the first guy to write AEW in the air.
Do you think maybe it's because WWE kept NXT guys on the same contract even after getting a fucking network television show they're getting paid millions of dollars for? Could that be it, maybe? Could that be it?
That's one of many. Do you think that it's coincidental that they had a crazy flight from hell from Saudi Arabia?
They're not even in the top 20.
Do you think that might have something to do with it?
That's crazy, man. Here's what I would... honestly, I'm surprised everyone in NXT hasn't said they want to quit. Like, if I was in NXT, I would be like, okay, so... you either renegotiate my bullshit contract or I'm walking. Like, are you kidding me? Like, if you're on TV, like, that's crazy talk.
Pre USA, when they were calling guys from NXT to the main roster when it was still a network show, you would be on your same NXT contract unless you asked to negotiate with WWE and get a better contract. So literally, like, let's say they call up Aleister Black, he would be on his same NXT contract, even though he's on the main roster, doing pay-per-views, doing that, unless he negotiates that contract.
That's what happened to Leo Rush.
Isn't that wild?
That's what happened. I think he got called up to do the stuff with Bobby, and like he was still on NXT contract, so he's still getting paid nothing and having to travel, and they weren't compensating any of it.
Yeah, they don't compensate the travel. That's a huge deal, too.
Oh, my God.
That's wild. What could be
the reasoning for all these guys wanting to leave? It's insane.
And the fact that it doesn't have anything to do with them hiring like 1,000 indie guys at once, and then your spot is never safe now because they can just replace you with any.
Oh,
they'll
replace you in a second. Oh, dude, there's so many people in the performance center right now that they're building on to the performance center because they literally cannot house the amount of people that they have. That's crazy. That's wild, man. And they're still losing viewers by the second. What could the reason be? I don't understand.
That's crazy. It's insane how they're like the talent they just cycle through. Like there's so many top tier guys. Like didn't the Colognes ask for their release as well? Or they are getting released?
They asked for their release too. Yep, you're right.
And Cassius Ohno was putting over Primo as like one of the best wrestlers of all time.
Dude, if I'm on the lower bit of this shit. There's so much more money to be made, like especially after NXT. Here's the deal, man. Main roster money is a lot. Like it's not crazy, but it's for a profession, it's a good amount of money.
I mean, there's a reason JTG just hid backstage so he didn't get fired. Yeah.
There's money to be made in WWE. Don't get me wrong on that. You know what I mean? There's money to be made. Here's the thing though. It was fine when you're on NXT because you were always with the promise of getting main roster money. Like that was always the thing. It's like, I'll just work out NXT and then eventually I'll make a lot of money. Like that was always
the
thing.
Start out there. Like that's kind of like a stage there. Okay. Performance center, NXT, Raw, get the big money. It worked. Now
that's not right.
Well.
Now they put a brick fucking wall in front of that main roster money and they said, nope, you're going to stay right here. We're not going to pay you any more money and we're not going to use you because we only have 2 hours of TV. And we're not going to use you. There's a ton of dudes just sitting, not doing anything, making close to nothing living in Florida. And Biff could leave and he would be on, he would have a show every single day if he wanted to. You know what I mean? There's a difference. Yeah. Like when someone's like really talented, like Biff is,
for sure.
You know what I mean? There is, especially right now, there
unlimited
is
potential
so
for
much
those
money.
Guys.
Yeah. Like when Biff left the indie circuit, the scene was so much more different. Even when Biff was there, there was still money to be made, but it's so much different now, especially with AEW and stuff. Like he doesn't even have to sign an AEW contract. He could just work TV or something. And like, you know, just come in every once in a while and still work the indies and do whatever. There's just so much more money to be made.
There's a lot of guys that do like Impact, but they still do indies.
Yeah, I mean, because they can
as well.
And with just the way there's so much money circulating right now, just in like being able to make yourself your own star with the internet and all that stuff and putting a brick wall in front of the main roster money and like keeping people back. Like it's definitely going to be interesting to see how things shift in WWE with a ton of people not getting the promise of moving up and making that money. NXT guys will never main event WrestleMania. Well, like, I don't want to say never because that's not exact. You know, I don't know what happens in the future, but like NXT guys right now have a glass ceiling, right? Like compared to Raw, SmackDown, all that stuff. Like Raw and SmackDown are still your main shows, regardless. Like they tout NXT as a third brand or whatever, but like it doesn't even like it's not even getting close to a million viewers. You know what I mean? It's like obviously there's a glass ceiling for these guys working this show. Once Survivor Series is over, like obviously, like that's on the back burner. Like we won't see, you know, they will never talk about that shit ever again. Like that's what happens every year with Survivor Series. Remember Dolph Ziggler beat like, I don't remember, beat Sting or something. I don't remember something crazy or like, you know, like save Sting. I don't even remember what happened like that. It was a big deal at the time, but it didn't fucking matter 5 seconds after. And that's just like a WWE problem in general, to be honest with you.
I think maybe the Rumble, they'll bring more NXT guys in and then that'll, you know, then WrestleMania build and that's about it. And then you'll go back to the
There's, you know, like there's obviously a glass ceiling there. And especially if you're not getting paid, if you're an NXT and because you're an NXT, you're not getting paid as much as Raw and SmackDown. It's like, why am I even there? I mean, like, what am I even like? What's the point of, you know what I mean? Like, it's just,
I guess like, I think back to like when I was a kid, I was like, man, how sweet would it be to be in WWE or WWF? And get to WrestleMania and have your WrestleMania like that. Like maybe that's still some of those guys. They're like, man, I still want to have my big WrestleMania moment.
Regardless there's of no pay, like, way
that's what I want.
Yeah. Dude. There's like, no way that they signed to WWE. And like, that wasn't there. Everyone that signs to WWE, even if it's like delusion, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like everyone that signs there, that's their big dream is like, they want to be Mr. WrestleMania. They want to, you know what I mean? They don't want to, especially if they're not making a ton of money. Like obviously everyone can't be Mr. WrestleMania, but it's a good, it's a good thing to shoot for. And like, if you're working NXT forever, you're never going to be that. And that's just
Johnny Gargano literally has a t-shirt that says NXT for life.
Like,
so we know where he's going
to
be.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened with that. There's except, just this ad, this is a lot of question people marks.
Throw NXT people in the Rumble and an NXT guy wins the Rumble. I wonder if they would just have him go for the NXT title. They'd be like, oh, that would suck.
Would he do?
Well, I think before, didn't they have a choice? I don't know what it, I don't know what WWE.
They kind of just pick it.
There was a rule and then there wasn't a rule. And then like, it's just I don't understand it anymore, but I figure like that would be like the only way that one of those guys would get a shot at WrestleMania. But it won't even be a main event because it'll be like the opening match like they always do. Such a broken, it's a backwards system. It's like, oh, the Rumble is amazing. We got this great thing. And then it's like, oh, he's going to do the opening match of the WrestleMania. All
right. Yeah, this whole system right now is really scuffed, to be honest with you, man. Like, there's definitely going to be some sort of reform. And the fact that there hasn't been some sort of reform in the way that, I guess, just WWE in general does business is kind of crazy. Just because, I mean, they've changed so much. Like, the TV show has not fucking changed whatsoever. But like the fundamental like foundation of WWE has changed quite a bit. I mean, like they added another TV show on USA every week. They're doing fucking Saudi shows 2 or 3 times a year. You know, they're getting paid billions. I mean, and they're just getting billions in revenue. Like insane fucking numbers, right?
Yeah.
Like, absolute insanity at this point. And like, dudes are still, there's people on the roster that like can barely afford anything. Like that's nuts.
Wild is that they have a takeover with like these NXT guys. And then some of those guys are going to be at Survivor Series doing it, like representing Team NXT. So it's like, you're having these guys work their ass off 2 shows.
Happens to takeover, man? Because takeover is usually 5 matches. Well, that was right 1 hour of TV.
Right now they have 2 War Games matches, which is already just overkill.
Oh, that's right. They scuffed that War Games stuff, didn't they? They just like, hey, fuck it, bro. Just go debut on SmackDown or whatever. They said screw the War Games stuff, right? Like, that's crazy. Yeah.
So they have the War Games thing, 2 War Games matches, and then Matt Riddle, Finn Balor, which was supposed to be Johnny Gargano, Finn Balor, but Johnny's injured. So, so that'll probably be like the War Games match will be like 2 hours, and then we have our Finn Balor Riddle match. So we'll have 3 matches on the show, probably.
Insanity, dude. What the hell? So the boys are supposed to work a War Games match and then go work a like
Survivor Series.
Yeah, yeah. Like, is that was yeah. is that what you're saying? Like, who's in the That's who's in the boys? Who's in the men War Games? Do you know? Do they announce?
We
it?
Got Undisputed Era versus Ciampa, Keith Lee.
So Roderick Strong is going to go work AJ Styles and Shinsuke the night after having a War Games match. Is that what you're saying? And he's not going to get. I don't even think there's pay per view bonuses anymore.
Raised? I don't know.
Yeah, there's no pay per view bonuses anymore. I don't think so. Like what? I'm so confused. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, there has to be some sort of reform.
Then there's also Team Raw, Team NXT. There's two of those. Like, there's a female one and a male one, Survivor Series, 5-on-5-on-5. So we can assume that you'll have Matt Riddle, you'll have Finn Balor, you'll have the rest of the Undisputed Era, Ciampa, I don't know, Io Shirai, Rhea Ripley, Candice, I don't know. Walter's probably going to be a part of something. I don't know.
A lot going on, man.
Because don't they have do they have the three-way championship match as well? Three titles?
Yeah, I mean, they have
They just have The Fiend and Daniel Bryan now. So it's the U.S. title is like the brand supremacy thing. The U.S. North American.
Man, they just threw that together too, didn't they? The Daniel Bryan thing.
Because
Daniel Bryan's lost all his matches recently. I don't think I remember Daniel Bryan winning a match in the past like 6 months.
Usually they do Raw, SmackDown titles versus each other. And then they're not doing that this year. So they're doing the mid-card titles as the brand supremacy triple threat, as they call it.
The brand supremacy. The Fiend's going to empty the tank for SmackDown.
And Brock Lesnar and Rey Mysterio as well. That's a match.
Are you going to do Mania week this week? Or you going to go to Mania this week or what, dude? Are you going to go to Mania next
Deadlock. Aren't we going to be there representing Deadlock?
Well, yeah, I mean, we wanted to set something up. That's what I was asking. Like, are you planning on doing Mania?
Yeah, I mean, I was talking with Marcus about it a while ago, and I thought that was always a plan, but I haven't got tickets or anything, but
I go to Mania week, yeah, I'm not going to actual Mania. So, like, I'm just going to do the collective and the WrestleCon stuff, and then I'll just leave.
We'll be there.
Yeah,
we'll
but I mean, there. I probably won't do the, that.
I'll
not,
empty the tank for WrestleMania, brother.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I'm like, man, I do not want to be in Tampa for 10 hours, you know, watching wrestling. I'd rather be at home watching WrestleMania. So I think that's probably what I'm going to do.
We're going to hit up like a sports bar around the area and go to that. That'd be pretty fun.
Yeah, we could do that. That doesn't sound
Those
awful.
Are pretty lit with a bunch of fans hanging out and going to a sports bar. Everybody's cheering and stuff. That's more fun than being like cramped in, like, especially if you get really bad seats or you get on the floor where you can't see people in front of you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I always think like Mania is definitely something you should experience at least once. But I've been to a few at this point, and like, I know how they go. And like,
Can I expose the business here, brother, brother, what? Brother? I was there when Seth Rollins cashed in Money in the Bank, and Pulse is the biggest fan of all time of Seth Rollins. And he
that shit ruled. Like, you can ask anybody. Shit, that's probably one of my favorite moments. And
I'm
like,
just kidding. Dude.
No, I mean, you're right.
For liking Seth Rollins.
Oh, no, I know. Everybody knows. He used to be my YouTube intro for the longest time. That moment was so sweet. I'm glad we were there for that one, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, it was cool, but it's weird though because I feel privileged or something. I'm so jaded now. If I'm not in like a sweet box thing, I don't want to watch.
No, that's fun
because
we got beers and food and like, you know, it's
even
all right there.
AEW wearing a suite, man. Yeah, it's like it's I can't dope. Watch wrestling without it just being in a suite.
Like I said, you experience Mania once, but like after you experience it, like it definitely would. I think I'd probably be more inclined to do it. If it wasn't like an 8 to 10 hour show, dude,
Yeah,
that's
insanity. I think also just being, if you just go and you're like in that area where Mania is at and you're just taking it all in and all the wrestling shows and all like the cons and all that stuff, like there's a lot to do out there. It's really fun.
I'm planning on hitting like 10 wrestling shows that week. Like I'm pretty much going to hit all the collective stuff. WrestleCon announced, I don't know if you saw this, but WrestleCon announced Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling is going to be there for a show. With DDT, so like
that's cool.
Possibly Stardom's gonna run a show too. Like I'm definitely there for all that stuff.
US will probably be somewhere around there, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably. And Impact's running a retro TNA show, and Monty Brown might be there. So like, I have a lot of shows I want to go to.
They're running NWA TNA, right, or something?
Yeah, yeah, they're doing something crazy like that. Yeah, it's like a TNA throwback show, and I think. Yeah, Spring Break 4, of course, and all that. Like, there's just so much crazy good stuff. Yeah,
man, that's
that's what I'm excited for. The Mania thing is like whatever. Everything else around Mania is like what I'm there for. That's what I'm saying. It's like once you go to Mania once, you get the idea what it is. especially nowadays, Mania is a marathon, dude. It is seriously a marathon. Like, you have to like pace yourself to be ready for a live WrestleMania show. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm thinking like maybe, yeah, I actually like the idea of like just hanging out and maybe going to a sports bar or something. Maybe we can get just a bunch of food and just hang out in the hotel or something too, and just get some beers, and like, that'd be pretty fun too, actually. We could probably, maybe we could even stream that or something. That'd be dope. Like, that'd hotel cool. room, could, just hanging out, chilling and watching Mania or something. That'd be
fun. We could figure cool. Yeah, that'd be cool. We should get someone to host an actual deadlock, like, thing, like a deadlock watch party live where people can come and join, and like, we hang out at a sports
bar. Oh yeah, I wonder if anybody would do that. Like, instead of going to Mania, come hang out with us.
That would be sick, dude. Oh my gosh, that would be awesome. We should try and literally set up like almost like a meet and greet, but like, you can be a part of this watch party with us. Like, that would be so fun.
That would be, I actually like that idea.
We should figure some
lot.
Way to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if any of you guys are going like to Tampa or not, but
a local sports bar or something. We'd be like, hey, we're going to bring a bunch of people in. So this is what we want to do. And let's get it set up. What do we got to do? I'm sure we can make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, dude, that'd be awesome. Maybe we can, I don't know. Like I said, we'll probably be at most of the shows too. So like, you guys can hang out with us all week during the shows. And then we could do like a Mania thing.
We'll do
thing
something
and,
deadlock related, but I do think that Mania thing would be really fun.
Yeah, we're talking, like, we're trying to figure out something to do deadlock related where it's just like a meetup, hangout kind of thing. We're kind of talking about a bunch of shit right now. I don't know if that's, like, we're talking about either like a bar thing or, I don't know. I said something about like a live podcast episode or something, but we can figure out something along those lines. Something there is the plan right now. But we're thinking of doing something. And like I said, we're also thinking about, like, I'm just thinking about the shows and stuff. Like, that's going to be super, super dope. Like, just
yeah,
going.
There's a ton of shows. I remember when I went, was it Texas or something? I don't remember.
Yeah, which one was Texas? I remember it was the one where they introduced the women's championship, the new one.
Yeah. Yeah. There was like there was a Evolve show or something, like during the day at like noon in a barn. And like,
yeah,
like,
yeah. Evolve always runs like, the shows. And like, yeah, we got one in a church. Okay, I guess.
I remember Drew Galloway was there and he was like, I am the effing business or whatever you're saying. I was like, Drew Galloway.
Yeah, there was
the
one Evolve show where like Cody Rhodes was there. So I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot he left. That's great. That
was like a Will
AEW.
Ospreay versus Ricochet match or something on there. I was like, dude, this is awesome.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. I hope so Kaiju crazy. Big Battle's there this year.
You gotta wait till like 1 a.m.
Yeah, after. 1 a.m. and like we're just gonna wrestle on the street. Okay, yeah, that sounds
they
good.
They wrestle after I think I saw him after Dragon Gate USA, bro, back in the day.
Fuck. That's Johnny Gargano's stomping grounds, bro.
Yeah, it was, and I think I saw Masato Tanaka wrestle on that.
That's
show,
the boy.
That dude was lit. His wife was like in the front row, and he just like gave her a kiss and then went and wrestled. I was like, Masato Tanaka was in front of me. Oh my god! I was like freaking out. And then after that, they had Kaiju Big Battle, and I was like, this is insane. I've never experienced anything.
I have
like
so
this.
Much stuff I want to do, man. So much stuff. That's gonna be exciting. That's just gonna be a fun
dude,
time.
After your, I think you'll be like burned out after your Japan trip.
Dude, I'm
know.
Doing the Japan trip in four weeks now. Where I'm going to be going to 20 wrestling shows in 19 days.
That's insane.
20 wrestling shows in 19 days is the plan right now. That could increase. Then next year, I plan...
Please make a vlog that says 20 wrestling shows in 19 days. That's
yeah,
like
just
the greatest
a whole,
vlog of all
yeah,
time.
Where I go to every single Cork and Hall show over the whole... That'd be crazy.
Just sleep in Cork and you got to leave.
I know. If they had beds, I'd probably do it. So I'm going... Yeah, so the Japan trip, and then next year... We're planning on doing Mania at the beginning of April, that whole week. And then at the end of April is Golden Week in Japan, which I'm planning on going back for Golden
oh
Week
my
shows.
Gosh.
So.
And then we got the Chicago reunion, Deadlock's first anniversary, Chicago All Out.
Oh, yeah, that's true. All Out in Chicago. Yeah, we're definitely doing
that's
that, too.
That's the Deadlock anniversary, bro. 1 year.
That'll be crazy, man. That'll be crazy.
That's like our... That's such a cool thing to think about. Like All Out was when we launched Deadlock. So then we have All Out is like every
and
All
yeah,
Out is like
and then
an
they
anniversary.
Said, yeah, and they said they're going back to Chicago for every All Out. It's like, oh damn, that's sweet. Like that's awesome.
We'll just hit up the same B&B and we'll just stay there again.
Yeah, that'll be like the Deadlock house. And it's like, hey, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm very excited for all that stuff. There's a lot of really cool stuff coming up. Like, oh man, it's going to be awesome.
And it's funny that like none of this revolves around like WWE really. We're all like, we got all this crazy. We're like, wrestling is so fantastic. There's so much good stuff. And it's like, yeah, there is Mania, but it's more about like the weekend around Mania.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to force myself to do anything I don't want to do. You know what I mean? Like if I, if we're doing Mania or whatever, I want to hang out with my fucking friends. I want to drink like that. That's it. You know what I mean? I'm definitely not going for any other reason that would, you know, I'm not going to, like I said, like I've told people before, like I definitely don't force myself to watch something I'm not super interested in anymore. Like I, there's way too much shit that I do enjoy that I'm like, let's go. You know what I mean? Like I'm traveling everywhere for wrestling. I got like 40 promotions I'm going to. 80 of them are in Japan. 40 of them are there on WrestleMania week in Tampa. It's just like, there's like 100 things that I'm doing. It's just like, man, there's just so much cool shit going on.
Man, it's crazy. It's simpler times, man. I went to WrestleMania 22 in Chicago in the Rosemont, Illinois. I think it was called the Rosemont Horizon, or maybe Allstate.
Yeah, Allstate. Yeah, I think it was the.
Yeah, dude, there was like 17,000 people. Can you imagine that for Mania? 17,000. And then I went to the biggest Mania of all time.
Yeah, yeah, it was like 40,000 everywhere. Oh, now it's a ghost town. Do you remember that Call of Duty intro, the Call of Duty 4? 50,000 people used to live here. Now it's a ghost town.
Yeah, that's exactly. But yeah, so there was like no WrestleCon or nothing, even like there was not, it was like Mania and that was it. And then you had like the Hall of Fame if you wanted to go. That was literally all that WrestleMania was. Now it's like everybody
so
runs.
Much.
Whoever decided, ooh, we should run an indie show next to WrestleMania.
There ain't no way WWE is eventually not going to be like, all right, now disperse. There's no way, you know, like they're going to like buy out the city or something. No one can run wrestling but us here.
They probably would, dude. That would be insane. Oh,
if they
gosh.
Do that shit, I think the only reason they don't do that shit is because, like, you know, you got Triple H and Peter Dunne over here just talking about some, oh, we love indie wrestling. We protect that shit. We hear a lot about it. If they do that shit, then that's out the fucking window. You know,
they're
going
to do a Mania in the UK, and they don't even have to worry about that. We already own the entire UK wrestling scene.
There's
so
no one
good.
Left. Everyone's gone out of business. Wrestling. Yeah, did you see, like, IPW is going out of business? Like, there's literally, like, no Brit wrestling.
ICW, like, but doesn't WWE really own that?
No, IPW is different.
I mean, I'm saying ICW.
Yeah, ICW in Progress. Thing? Yeah.
Isn't that WWE, like, though, right?
Yeah, almost. Well, soon that's going to be the only promotions left. Then WWE will buy them and shut it all down. And
they're
then,
still going to, like, stream on the WWE Network or something, and then they can buy them whenever they feel like. I don't know.
Don't you remember when Evolve ran that show at the same time the AEW show came on, and everybody's like, dude, calm down. This is initiating their 8-year plan to put Evolve on the network. Where's Evolve at? Where's Evolve at?
Yeah. And then that was the same time they had didn't they have a UK show? Or no, New Japan had a UK show.
Yeah, but that was different times. It was New Japan.
That wasn't during the afternoon, but yeah.
Yeah, but the Evolve thing. Remember, that was the big defense for it was, hey, look, man, Evolve, this is an 8-year star-studded plan that's finally coming to fruition. And then, like, they just ran it the same day as AEW, and then just if all of you can go back to your barns or whatever the fuck you're doing.
It's also kind of like when they said, we're just going to do Wednesdays quickly on USA right
now. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. This is a 20-year plan that's coming to fruition. We cannot help
it. When Triple H was in DX, he thought of this idea.
And he said it's going to be on this exact date. We can't help that AEW is also going to be on this exact date.
This is not counter-programming.
Don't worry about suits cutting the show in half for 3 weeks. Don't worry about that. Was also planned. Triple H is a big suits fan. So, you know, you had to catch the finale of the 20th season.
Woo. Gotta love it, man. Gotta love it.
There's a lot of shooting on this one, cowboy.
This is fantastic, though.
There's a lot of shooting on this one. We can talk about AEW. They had a good TV show this week.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, Wardlow.
This was their post pay-per-view show.
The Fallout. Did you see Wardlow?
Fully loaded.
you see Wardlow did?
The Fallout fully loaded? No.
Oh, God. Yeah, JR
loaded?
With the fully
the
loaded.
Fallout for fully loaded? Okay.
Dude, he said fully
loaded.
Yeah,
I saw Warlord make his debut.
Wardlow did? Yeah, like Wardlow did?
They need to change his name.
No, dude.
Care.
Wardlow did. You know what I said? It's my fucking Warlord.
Warlord.
He's my guy right here. Warlord. That's all I can think about when I think of Warlord. Like whenever, I don't know why, but all I can think about is Wardlow's the guy that hangs out with the five foot nine.
Guy?
Yeah, the 5'9", 125-pound. That's all I can think about with Wardlow. It's like just this fucking skinny white dude. And like, yeah, this is my man Wardlow right here, dude. And he'll beat that ass. Like, this is Wardlow,
man. Yeah.
That's all I can think about when I see that motherfucker. I don't know why it's like that. But he debuted on AEW and he attacked Cody Rhodes.
I almost forgot about him, to be honest, because they kind of did like these video packages and then.
What are you talking about? Really, bro, that's my man, dude. You forget about Wardlow? He ends up attacking Cody Rhodes. And it's funny because, like, Cody Rhodes is actually bigger than Wardlow, I think. Like, they Cody Rhodes is pretty beefcake, dude. Like, Cody is slapped right now. But it's funny because Wardlow is. Wardlow is huge compared to like most of the roster, and Wardlow's not even that big. Like, Wardlow is like, you know, a pretty averagely sized, goes to the gym.
You gotta be
6'1"
in AEW, you're taller than
everybody. Yeah. you pretty much just, you're cream of the crop.
6 foot tall, you're taller, yeah.
Yeah, this guy comes in. I mean, what else can you say? You know, MJF.
You're 6'2", you're a superstar, man. You're gonna get over.
My man Wardlow did? Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
He came in after, wasn't it the MJF Jericho thing? And then Cody came out, and then Wardlow, bro.
Bro. You know.
I think that's how it all played out, right?
Yeah, Wardlow came out, and, you know, he attacked Cody from behind. You know, Cody got his, you know, shit busted open again. That's going to be his Ric Flair injury, where, like, that's never going to heal. He's just going to have a bandage on his face for the rest of his life.
I love it, though.
He'll get busted open every week. Yeah, the Wardlow thing was hilarious because, like I said, Wardlow is probably like the same height as Cody, but Cody is definitely like thicker than Wardlow is, if that makes sense. Wardlow definitely looked thicker in the promos they did, but Cody is, I'm just saying, Cody has been, he's been hitting the, he's been hitting the, deadlifts or whatever. He's definitely been hitting something.
He's on the gym, man.
He's eating at least 2 chicken breasts a day, that's for sure. Cody is on 2 chicken breasts a day, 3 asparagus. He's looking good.
He's good.
Wardlow is definitely going to be interesting to see how he plays out, though, if they're going to play him as the typical Batista archetype sort of gimmick or what
they
decide to do.
He's Tyson Tomko, bro.
Don't ever say that again. Tomko did not fight his way through the trenches for you to compare him to Wardlow, because that's my
favorite. I love Tyson Tomko, okay?
That's what I'm saying. Tomko was the man. Christian's Coalition ruled. But, like, you know, Wardlow is definitely not on Tomko's level. Are you kidding me?
Well, not yet, but he eventually will be.
We'll see.
If they put him with MJF, come on. They can't give him anybody. MJF is, like, their guy now.
Yeah. I mean, he does say bad things. MJF definitely says bad things about people.
I was a fan of the MJF Jericho stuff. Did you like it?
The promo they did?
Yeah, the promo they did.
No, I thought the promo was good. It was very daytime TV sitcom. Right? Yeah. Did you get that feeling? Yeah, did you get that? It felt like Step Brothers.
They did put a video out. I don't know if you saw it on the social of Step Brothers. Like, they edited Step Brothers into that.
Oh, did they?
Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
They literally put out a clip. Like, did we just become best friends? Yep. They literally.
Yeah, that's what it
that
felt
together.
Like.
When they both said Cody, ah, yeah.
That was good.
No, it was good. It was good.
Yeah, I felt like, I was wondering, I felt where like it was going to go, new, though. Fresh.
I wonder where, like, because you rarely in pro wrestling ever see two heels banter like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's usually like, oh, we got to get the big dog face out here.
We got to get the fursuit out here, baby. So why don't you shut down this Wardlow shit and this MJF garbage, and why don't you get Sammy Guevara in a panda suit? Fuck all this shit.
But it was fantastic. It was good. And then just to see them bicker, and then they both. It was, people had pointed out on social media that it was a throwback to Kevin Owens and Jericho.
Oh, when they were friends for a second.
Friends, and they both were like, talking about, I don't know. They did similar stuff, apparently. I don't know.
No, I mean, Chris Jericho definitely takes parts of his characters from past all the time, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, he reinvents himself, but he always brings it back a little bit. He always kind of takes it and kind of
like a little
uses
throwback
it.
Nod, like, oh, wink, wink. Remember?
Yeah, you get that? Like, it's very Marvel-esque. You get that?
Yeah, you're like, oh yeah, I remember that back at Raw Festival of Friendship. I definitely remember that. That's what's
going on. Yeah, definitely. Like, that's absolutely what they do. But MJF. I mean, like, I talk about the dude, you know, how he just says bad stuff, and like, you're like, oh my God, what a heel. But like, I still don't know. I still don't know if he's like, you know, this master heel that everyone takes him for, but like the promo was good. And like, I was happy with it. Like it was well done. And like Jericho
it did
just
what it was supposed to do.
And I don't want to say that because I like actually enjoyed it. So like, I don't want to say it did what it's supposed to do. Cause that's like, I'll save that for, you know, so for, maybe when Wardlow has his first match, that's what I'll save that for.
CM Punk coming back in Fox. Yeah. Yeah. Did what it was supposed to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. The Fiend turned the championship blue.
It was it was fantastic. I thought it was good, and we'll see. Only hope good things for everybody involved in that, I think, hopefully.
Yeah, we actually had a tag team match earlier in the night. Surprise, surprise. Because, you know, AEW, they definitely don't run enough tag team matches. God damn. They could not run anyone. Yeah, I can't believe that. You know, we had the women get a combined 6 minutes of TV time, but the tag team matches, they're astronomical. They're going off the roof. So they had a tag team match, and it was between Jurassic Express and who did Jurassic Express?
Dark Order.
Jeez, I already forgot who it was. It didn't matter because like what really mattered was Luchasaurus coming back as a damn dinosaur. Yeah. And once again, JR just doesn't care about Luchasaurus. But thankfully, the crowd cares about Luchasaurus, and that moment was really cool. The pop that he got when he came out and he's stomping down and he's doing the tail whip. Like when Excalibur called it, you see him when he did the kick, the roundhouse, and it knocked down all, like three members of the Dark Order.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
He's like, oh, the tail whip. And JR's like, oh, yeah. It's like, dude, the crowd's just erupting right now. Man, can you please put this dude over? I'm sick of JR. I'm sick of it. Yeah,
and I always get mad. He's like, Jungle Jack Perry. I'm like, shut up. Just call him Jungle Boy.
No. He's not going to ever do that. He does it on purpose. He's trolling.
Jungle Dark Party. And they offered Jungle Boy to join Dark Order as well.
Ah, yes. The Dark Order. Yes.
We want you in to join the Dark Order. Come with us.
Did he ask Jungle Boy or did he ask Marco Stunt? I think he asked Marco Stunt, which made it even weirder. Why the hell would you pick, you know what I mean? Why not? Why would you not pick Jungle Boy?
I think he asked Jungle Boy. I don't remember. Anyway.
Look it up real quick. Because I mean, because this changes a lot of things. If he has Jungle Boy, then that makes more sense. But I swear to God, he has Marco Stunt. I was like, huh.
Oh, he did ask Stunt. It was Stunt. Okay.
Yeah, what the world? Why would you ask Marco Stunt? It's just Stunt. Like, I mean, like, Marco Stunt.
Then Jungle Boy was like, no, don't join.
Yeah, yeah. That was interesting. I mean, like, I feel like Jungle Boy definitely has the, if they were going to do a Luchasaurus return, you know, why would you ask Marco Stunt when Jungle Boy is obviously the one that, like, is the, he's definitely not the step, the redhead stepchild of this relationship. You know what I mean?
He's a third wheel, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Jungle Boy's definitely one I would've done.
It's also fantastic when Jim Ross is just talking about, oh, he's so small. This
God,
guy
he
is
loves
so
sizes,
tiny.
And you know, I think I talked to you about that before. Like he's definitely set on numbers and statistics and like semantics.
It's because it's easy information. Like someone can write that down and yeah, then he can just recite it. It's not like anything he has to watch and learn. Like,
yeah, he doesn't have to actually watch tiny. It.
This guy's tiny, so he's got a big heart. All right,
yeah,
shut
all right,
up.
Dude. Yeah, oh, here we go again.
You can just tell that he doesn't like him. He's like, you do not like Marco Stunt, so just quit trying to pretend. Oh, he's got a lot of heart. It's like, you honestly think he shouldn't be wrestling in the okay?
Yeah,
let's
say it with your chest, JR. Say it with your chest. Say you don't want this outlaw mud show bullshit. Say it with your chest. Come on now.
Just get him to shoot, okay? That'll be more real than what he's doing now. Just say, this sucks. Why is Jungle? Just get him out of here.
Yeah, say it with your chest, JR. You know, say something. I mean,
he did put over Jungle Boy, though. He thinks Jungle Boy is like the next.
Yeah, he does like Jungle Boy a lot, which is cool. Jungle Boy is good. He's awesome. The funny thing about, it's becoming like a, you know, the tag team thing is becoming one thing, but another thing that's becoming it's like every week, man. Every single week, I see a headline from something to do with Jim Ross, where Jim Ross has said, every single week, there's a Jim Ross headline that says, Jim Ross, people don't like my commentary. I don't give a shit. Like Jim Ross, if you ever say this every week, do you think that maybe, just maybe, there is an underlying issue with you and your commentary? Like, it's one thing to go, I don't care. It's another thing to say it every week. There is a headline every week. It's like Jim Ross on his podcast. People say I suck. I don't care. I don't give a shit. I'm going to keep commentating like I'm commentating. Well, like if everyone is saying it, then maybe change something up. Just a little bit. Come on, man. Just a little bit. I want to like you, JR. I want to like your commentary. Help me. Help me, JR.
Every week. I don't care.
That's every week. It's every week. There's a headline. There's three things that are constant with AEW. One, there's going to be a shit ton of tag matches. Two, There's going to be 6 combined minutes of women time on TV. 3, JR is going to say on his podcast that people said he sucked this week and he does not care. There's your 3 AEW constants every single week.
And it just keeps getting better every week.
It's crazy, man. Just absolute insanity. Speaking of tag teams, we had another tag team thing that happened tonight, Tony. We had the proud and powerful team of Santana and Ortiz and the Young Bucks, who fought each other in a brawl that went all over the arena. Actually, I should have said there's 4 things, by the way, in my earlier thing. I should have said there's 4. AEW likes to turn the lights off every single show. Every show, the lights turn off.
That's another thing. Yeah. The lights go off. They come back on.
The lights go off. I'm pretty sure the lights went off in this brawl. The lights are always off in AEW. But the Young Bucks and Proud and Powerful were brawling all over the arena. And me and Tony watched the Fight TV version of it this week.
Watch the TNT version, but
Fight's cool because like it doesn't cut to commercial, right?
Yeah.
But it just shows whatever the regular feed is. And sometimes you'll catch JR saying, "Hutta, vada, vada." But most of the time it's just like dead air. And God, there was this off, you know, real quick. There was this SCU was doing some gimmick. I don't know if you caught that at the end of the show, like SCU before their main event tag team match. Like they were like during commercial break, they were doing something like, "This is the cringiest thing I've ever seen in my life." Oh my God, it was so bad. But anyways, Young Bucks and Proud and Powerful were brawling over the arena. We're watching the Fight TV version of this, so we don't get any commercials. I swear to God, this brawl lasted a half hour. Like it felt like it.
Yeah,
they brawled. This was like a 2 or 3 seg brawl. Like, because on TV it went to at least 2 or 3 commercial breaks, but on the Fight TV it did not. So we saw the brawl the whole time. There's people in the back yelling to them during commercial break. "You're still on commercial. You're still on commercial. You're still on commercial." And they're just brawling and brawling and they're just hitting each other. It's just like, oh my God.
And then you hear Jim Ross, "Where are we at in the segment?"
Yeah, Jim Ross, "What's going on here? Who are they fighting?"
We're still on commercial.
Yeah, I don't know why the Rock and Roll Express is in a brawl right now. JR, that is the Young Bucks? Who? All right, well. But anyways, one of the things that happened in this segment, which is mainly what I want to talk about, is as they were fighting, they kick open the bathroom door, and I'll be damned, there's Orange Cassidy hanging out in the bathroom, and he probably gets one of the biggest pops of the night. And it's crazy to me that there is so much discourse on Wrestle Twitter over Orange Cassidy when he is like one of the most over dudes on television right now. Like, yeah. It's crazy that there's any discourse.
Has he even got a regular, I don't think he's been a match.
He's 1-0. He is 1-0, by the way. They had a trios match. He is 1-0.
Yeah. Besides that, he hasn't been in any other matches.
But he is one of the most over dudes on TV right now. Kids are dressing as him. Like, people are doing Halloween as Orange Cassidy. He's hell. The TikTok wrestle stuff. People are Orange Cassidy on TikTok wrestle stuff. That's crazy. There's like Randy Orton, Bret Hart, and Orange Cassidy. So like, what discourse could you possibly have over Orange Cassidy being good? It's just like, bro, he is over and he's awesome. And he's like, he's great. What could you possibly?
He just stood there. He literally stood in the bathroom and the crowd exploded.
It was great. I loved it. That was like one of my favorite. That was like one of like the Luchasaurus thing, Orange Cassidy. Like that was like two of my favorite. Like there was a lot of people like, I think a lot of the discourse from this week's AEW was like, it felt like not much happened. You know, the main event was a tag team match that most people thought, you know, Scorpio Sky pinning Chris Jericho is a big deal. So like, it's just, it didn't feel like there was a lot going on because they were setting up stuff. So a lot of people were like, "Oh, this is not a good week." But I personally found it to be a good week of TV. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I feel like they did a couple like squash segments too, with like Moxley and Nakazawa.
I understand that. I understand why people don't like squash stuff. I don't like a lot of wrestling.
We were also talking about how everything doesn't mean like be like a 30-minute banger. Like on the other channel, we don't want to talk about them, but NXT, they're throwing out there like 50-minute bangers of like, "All right, we got to have Keith Lee go to the limit today." And it's like, dude,
and NXT sometimes does throw in the stuff. Like I remember Trevor Lee was beating people in like a second, like, from when I watched it for a minute. It's just like, But you're right, and it's an NXT. NXT has kind of swayed that mindset a lot too, where like matches aren't worth shit unless they're, you know, they check these boxes off. And like there definitely is some, and that's why I say I can't get mad at people for it. Like that's just the mindset right now. I wish it wasn't like that. Like there was a big discourse today on Twitter with like Brian Zane and like Cornette and, you know, just fucking just the worst of just.
Oh boy. I don't even want to know.
Well, I'll do the shorthand here. So it was about comedy wrestling and like how people think comedy wrestling isn't an important part of wrestling. And it's like, man, that's why I actually talked to you about this on the podcast before. I don't remember if it hit the cutting room floor or not. I don't know if it went up or not. We talked about this before. We're like, there is a spot for all that kind of wrestling. And if you write off comedy wrestling as it doesn't matter, you're missing a lot of fantastic wrestling, man. You're missing a lot of really, really just fun, good stuff. Just because, you know, it's not hitting these check boxes that you think a good match needs to hit. Yeah, that's why I think Orange Cassidy he's cool. I like Orange Cassidy a lot. And we've seen him before. We've seen Orange Cassidy, you know, kick it up. We've seen it before. Like, hell, we saw Orange Cassidy versus Gangrel live. That's crazy.
That's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He does his stick, and then he finally kicks it into gear and kips up, and then he starts going.
And he's a fantastic wrestler, too.
Especially when it is a tope suicida with his hands in his pocket.
He's awesome.
Like, let's go.
He's really cool. And that segment was fun.
Yeah.
And, like, that's awesome.
Again,
like
you can't think of wrestling as one thing. And when you think of it as, like, one certain thing, then you're just missing out on a segment of the audience that's going to enjoy the product.
Yeah, and that's... I mean, I was like that. I mean, shit, I'm sure most of us were, you know, especially during the CM Punk era of stuff. Like, I definitely was like that. You know what I mean? I definitely was like,
or like the PWG era where it's like, oh, everything's got to be like this PWG stuff.
I mean,
like,
I was definitely, like, I was definitely,
Rushmore.
I was definitely looking for a certain style of wrestling, no matter what I watched. And I think that I think I've grown as a wrestling fan to where like, that's not like, I loved Cassidy versus Gangrel and like, Gangrel putting on the glasses and like that's awesome. I love that shit. Like, I live for that shit. I love
and, like,
death match wrestling.
The orange juice and the
the orange juice and the blood and everything.
I think Orange Cassidy live for that drank shit. The blood and like choked on it.
Yeah. And then he hit him with the DDT. Yeah. So
yeah,
like,
that was fantastic.
I live so for good. That. I love death match stuff too. You know, I've pretty much caught like all the recent GCW shows. That's something I've gotten really into in the past year. You know, I love like Sakura Hirota matches where it's just like she's sticking her fingers up people's asses and shit. Like, I feel like there's a space for all this stuff in wrestling. Mm-hmm. And like, I get to enjoy all of it because like, I'm cool with all of it. I'm glad that I'm not like super close-minded on that anymore to where like, I'm only looking for a certain thing. Like, if I expect a match to be a certain way, like, you know, I don't expect Brock Lesnar versus, you know, I don't know, like Kane and Brock, I expect a certain thing. I don't expect them to go out there and, you know, piss around and throw, you know, water in the air and stuff and like do magic tricks. But, you know, but I enjoy it when it's there. And I think there's a place for all that stuff. And I think Orange Cassidy is a perfect example of a guy that combines it just like perfectly.
And they haven't even like really scratched the surface with him yet. They haven't fleshed out his full character yet.
No,
like,
he's got a ton of shit to do, man. He's got so much stuff to do.
He literally stood in the bathroom and the crowd exploded. Like,
he didn't do anything. He just sat there. That's crazy.
It would have been great if he had like a cigarette or something, like he was smoking in the bathroom, but
yeah,
we don't do cigarettes on this product because that kills people.
Yeah, that's all right. Whatever.
But we had like a couple squash matches on the show. I guess Moxley,
Nyla Rose versus local talent.
Yeah, that
Nyla
was
Nyla Rose
Moxley
versus local
stuff.
Talent. Yeah,
yeah. The Moxley stuff was just putting over like Moxley saying,
and then Darby Allin. So Ambrose put out the match, and then Darby
Ambrose.
Accepted.
Who's that?
Oh, I'm sorry, Hambrose. Put out the match.
he says, no one can bite me. Everyone's afraid of me. I'm the best. I'm the greatest. I'll kill you.
I got a gun. Oh my God, he's got a gun. And Darby Allin said, me too, motherfucker.
Yeah, so Darby Allin versus John Moxley. And also, Sean Spears got beat up by Joey Janela. So that was a thing.
Oh yeah, they're going deep into that. I hope they have Sean Spears show up on a GCW show.
That would be fantastic, dude. I'm just thinking about that right now with that garbage wrestling shirt on.
Yeah, like he would get so much heat just being there.
The chair man. We still need to see Sean Spears do a lot of garbage wrestling.
Yeah, just have Sean Spears and Jimmy Lloyd fucking beat each other up with light tubes. That'd be fun.
Sean Spears should request a lights out match and then do nothing in the match.
Sean Spears would be a lot more cool if he had light tubes. Like if he was not the chair man, he was the light tube man, he'd be a lot cooler.
He's the light man.
Yeah, he's an electrician. Like that would be a lot cooler. The electrician, Sean Spears.
Yeah, but I'm super hyped for next week with Darby Allin and Moxley. Boy, oh my God.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. There's a lot of good shit set up. I mean, you know, Cody, so far, Cody, the whole thing about the women, where Cody said the women are going to get a spotlight. Oh, I don't know about that. Riho was on AEW Dark.
Nyla Rose squash match and then Awesome
Kong hanging out for 5 seconds. Yeah, like, yeah, I don't know about that.
People's hair off.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but okay, I guess. Sure. We can still work on that women's thing, Cody. So,
we had Hangman and Pac as well on the show.
And it was a lot better than their pay-per-view match.
Yeah, their final, the final one.
Yeah, people are like, I guess. There's right? Definitely a way, like, yeah, I mean, like, it's, they 50-50'd it, but, like, that was definitely the way to go. And, like, Hangman fought as hard as he could. Pac just was too much. He's too evil. He's too much of a bastard.
He's a bastard. Yeah, he's the bastard. Jim Ross loves
that. He loves saying bastard. He just says it because he can. He's like, oh, bastard, bastard, bastard.
Bastard, 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 bastard. Like, badger, badger, badger.
Yeah. Bastard, bastard.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, the women stuff, maybe just more Brandi Rhodes is what they were talking about.
Yeah. We definitely have a lot of women stuff coming up. It's just Brandi Rhodes segments. Okay, well, maybe
there's a
not
promo
that.
For Brandi Rhodes. There's a segment with Brandi Rhodes. There's a match with Brandi Rhodes. Oh, we got the women's covered here.
Maybe not that. Good. Anything else? All right, man. I mean, we covered a lot of good stuff here on this episode, man.
Yeah, AEW I thought was good. Again, it was story setting up, telling and stuff here. So
I haven't had a week where I haven't enjoyed AEW.
Yeah, I could see where people were kind of like,
yeah, I can see it, sure. But I didn't.
Just setting up this storytelling, continuing to go forward here because they don't have anything going on for the rest of the year, pay per view wise. So they got to just continue to.
You think they do TV? You think they do TV events? Remember TNA was doing TV events?
Special?
Yeah.
Yeah, the special ones. Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so TNA would run, this is not a bad idea, honestly. TNA would run 4 pay-per-views a year, and then in between those pay-per-views, every 5 weeks or so, they would have a TV special. And, you know, it was gimmicked, and it was like a pay-per-view. And it pulled good ratings every time. Shit, they should probably do that. That's not a bad idea.
That'd be good.
Even if it's just a segue, even if it's just a segue into the next pay-per-view, that's not a bad idea, man.
I think they're one where they're the January 1st one where they're going back to Florida. I think that will be good.
Oh, they're, kind of it's like a pay-per-view reunion or anniversary or something, right?
Yeah, I think that's going to kind of be their one. They said their next pay-per-view is quarter one, but Tony Khan did not elaborate on what that actually means.
Come on, Tony. Khan?
But he did.
I know way too many Tonys now.
But he did like, he enjoyed Full Gear and said that there might be more Full Gear. So who knows?
Yeah, that'd be
what
cool.
Their pay-per-views are going to be.
Like, I'm just excited for All Out hanging with the boys again in Chicago.
That's going to be lit. That's going
to
be lit.
We can
that's
go to
like
the drive-thru
I guess, right?
Hit that drive-thru IHOP real quick. See Tommy Dreamer.
Oh my
God.
That was the first podcast episode, man. Brings me back.
I might go listen to that, actually, just so I can
bring
see.
Bring me back.
It's crazy. All right, oh man.
The trip to get that done too.
Yeah. It was fun.
Are we wrapped? We got the red light on?
Yeah. No, I'm getting the call from Vince here. Yeah. The ref got my ear right then. He said, wrap it up, boys.
What segment are we on?
Yeah, we gotta go. I gotta take it home.
Stop.
Stop. Please stop.
Yeah, that's good. We can wrap it up. Let's do that.
All right. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate you guys coming by and hanging out with us for a few hours every week as we talk shit.
Marcus will be back next week, as we always say.
Marcus will be back next week until he's not. So
we got Survivor Series and Takeover to cover next week. So
I'm actually
already
sick.
Happened for you. It already happened for you.
Yeah, I'm actually sick something? Next week. I just scheduled that in, so you can get someone else to talk about that. Yeah. Because anyways, thank you guys once again, and we'll see you next week when Tony comes back with Survivor Series and NXT.
I'm gonna have James exclusively review Takeover.
No, no.
Marcus, right. Come back. We need you.
Yeah, Marcus, you gotta run. Yeah, Marcus, get your boys. You guys can run a podcast. Oh, that was shit. I'll catch you guys next time on the next episode of the Deadline Podcast.